Good Sunday morning. This is Mike Sarig, the voice of Vital Ministries, and it's good to be with you on your Sunday. I hope today, if you're traveling down the highway, that you continue to be safe. It sounds like there might be a little bit of snow moving around out there today, so make sure you take great precautions as you travel. And I would just want to thank you for listening to us today as you're going down the highway. And also, too, those of you who are headed on your way to church, you do the same thing. Be watching. It's still slick spots out there. But again, we want to thank you for listening to Vital Ministries. And those of you that stay at home, those of you that are diligent, and this has become your church time, I want to thank you so much for allowing us to bring the gospel message to you. And also, too, that my hope is it's always an encouragement and an inspiration of what the Holy Spirit can do and how He leads through our lives. But before we get started this morning, we have a few things I just want to touch base about to upcoming events that are going on. Our next event for Vital Gathering is going to be March 14th at Debbie's Celebration Barn at 2162 21st Avenue West, right here in Oskaloosa. That's on the south side of Oskaloosa. You take, you go by, there's a Casey's down in that area, and you go past it, and it's just right there to your right, which is on the west, and you can see Debbie's Celebration Barn. And we always want to give a big shout out to both Denny and Debbie for allowing us to go to that barn and participate there and just allow them their generosity and just helping us to have those events there. So just want to give a big shout out with them. Also, too, we serve food, and it will be a great time there. You can come. Starts from 5 to 7 o'clock on Sunday evening on March 14th, and we'll have food, and then we'll have the Vital Ministries Praise Band. And what an opportunity that is, because we have just some great music and just some good musicians and a time of worship and prayer. Man, who doesn't need that in times like this, especially the things that we're going through in the midst of our nation and just what's going on. And also, too, we'll be doing a teaching series like we've been doing right here on the radio station on KBOE 104.9 FM. We'll be teaching on the kingdom of God, and we'll go up. We're going to look in depth exactly what Jesus meant by that and how the kingdom of God, not only is it coming, but also to how we can experience moments of that, how the kingdom of God is actually here and resides within each one of us. It's going to be an outstanding teaching, just a great time. Make sure you don't forget to put it on your date, March 14th. At Debbie's Celebration Barn. Also, too, we have Vital Men in three locations, Knoxville, Ottumwa, and right here in Oskaloosa. You can go to our vitalministries.org website, check out those locations and times. Majority of us all start at 6:30. We go from 6:30 to 8, and just a great time as men to get together, and we talk about life. We're working through the different teaching series. We're currently, again, we're on the Kingdom of Heaven as well in Vital Men, but just a great time as men that we can come together and join and just do some really, really trust the Lord and dig into His Word deeper. We also, too, in Vital Ministries, we send out both on Vital Men and also at Vital Life. We send out devotional 6 days a week. And just so you can go to get that app, get that on demand right on your phone. That way you can get it sent to you each day as the different writers speak. And some of us are doing podcasts ahead of time. Both my son and I both do that. I speak on Monday. My son speaks on Wednesday. But it's just a great opportunity, and I believe a time of inspiration for all of us. So again, you can go to vitalministries.org on our website and check that out. Just some great stuff, great events, things that are going on in the midst of everything that's going on in our everyday busy lives. But we're in a series called The Kingdom of God. We are teaching about moments in which there seems no other way. A back against the wall moments. And in those defining moments, we experience the kingdom of God, which comes at hand. And God comes in an incredible way in the midst of our lives. This past week, our nation has been hard hit with snow, ice, and frigid temperatures. They say over 75% of our nation was covered with snow. From the Canadian border all the way down to Texas, it has been a winter for all of us. I've talked with many farmers who have been hard hit with as well, especially in their livestock. Calving season has started, and the frigid temps can take a life of a newborn calf or even a sheep in a short amount of time if they're not on top of it. I tell you what, we need to be praying. We're in the midst of the heartland where we have ag farmers that go out and they feed much of the nation. And they're out there working in these frigid temperatures alongside with what I would say many, many people are first responders and also to those. I just want to give a shout out to those people that are clearing the snow on our highways, in our cities, in our towns. Man, I tell you what, haven't those men and women done a wonderful job this year in the midst of all the snow that we had? So I want to encourage you, when you see a DOT guy or a city guy that's sitting down having a coffee or lunch, I encourage you, if you see him, give him a wave, tell him, give him a high five and say, hey, thanks for all you do. But we also much welcome the warmer temps, along with our days of getting longer, and which brings the sun. And we all love the sun. My son, matter of fact, my son who lives in Plantation, Florida, and only in Florida did they not get the extreme cold weather that we had that did not impact that state. And I had to kind of laugh. He said, yeah, Dad, we're at a balmy 75 degrees down here in Plantation, Florida, which is really, really close to Fort Lauderdale. But I tell you what, it makes me think sometimes I might be a smarter if I resided in Florida during the wintertime and hang out with my son and my grandkids and go back and forth. But I tell you what, I do love all four seasons in Iowa. And I believe it's in moments that we experience needing Jesus all the more. Moments like I've just discussed, realizing that God controls all things, and that includes the weather. February is almost gone, and it's hard to believe that this past Wednesday was Ash Wednesday, the beginning of Lent. Good Friday is on April 2nd, and on April 4th, we will celebrate Easter. With that being said, come springtime. Man, aren't we ready for that? But let's transition now to our teaching this morning. We're going to, as the kingdom of heaven, we're going to be talking about a prisoner to a prince. We're going to look at the life of Joseph, the son of Jacob and Rebekah, the dreamer. I love that, as his brothers would say. And we'll see how God placed dreams in this young man and how it takes time and faith to see how God works in his life. We'll see how dreams and visions were given to men and women in the Bible and how still today it applies even in 2021. There's a Bible verse that I would like to begin with today, and it comes out of the book of Joel. Joel chapter 2 verse 28, and it says this, "And it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams, and your young men shall see visions." You also see that verse again in Acts chapter 2, verses 17 through 21, where Peter has been filled with the Holy Spirit and preaches a bold sermon in which 3,000 people were saved, baptized, and added to the church. I tell you what, revival hit when the Holy Spirit came back then, and revival is happening again as we experience it today. We're experiencing today, which is what I would say, the body of Christ has awakened to the dreams and the visions by the Holy Spirit. Just thinking about that this morning gives me chills run up and down my back of what the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost, is about to do and is doing, not only in the troublesomes that we have in the midst of our nation, but out of that comes God and his moments, what I would say, kingdom of heaven moments come for us. We're going to open our Bibles to Genesis chapter 41, if you're home today, to Genesis chapter 41, and we'll look into the life of Joseph. But before we go there this morning, let's get just a little bit of a glimpse of a background of how Joseph got into this moment, this predicament, this defining moment of which he had dreams that God used him amazingly. First, again, his father was Jacob, and his mother was Rebekah. I tell you what, folks, that in itself is a story, but we're not going to go there today. He is number 11 out of 12 sons, and he was his father's favorite. Man, again, another sermon could be preached just on that alone. His brothers despised him because of his favorite son, but also too of a dream that he had that he shared with his brothers in Genesis chapter 37, verses 5 through 7, in which he talked about a bundles of grain. And those bundles of grain, 11 of them were encircled around the one bundle, and they bowed down. And that brought hatred into the hearts of his brothers. See, his brothers would later kidnap him when Jacob sends young Joseph out to see where the other brothers were at, how things were going. That day, when he came and met up with them, they threw him in a pit. And then they pulled him out. And then they sold him into slavery, in which he was 17 years old. He was also, too, a house slave to Potiphar and his wife, in which she wanted to seduce him, and it backfired. So she compromised and convinced her husband to put him in prison. Potiphar's house, during the time that Joseph was there, flourished and saw great prosperity. He was then imprisoned for 10 years. And during prison, the prison system, the jailer would actually flourish during that time. And he was put into a position of leadership as well. He meets a cupbearer and a baker and interprets their dreams, which later we'll see how that plays out and which we're going to read this morning out of Genesis. And then 2 more years pass, and he's now 30, and he stands in front of Pharaoh of Egypt to interpret 2 dreams, which brings us to the very spot of the beginning today of our teaching. Point number 1 is called out of prison. We'll see 4 moves of God that position Joseph in a mighty way in his life that all came from the original dream that took 13 years to come to fruition. So let's get started this morning. Open up your Bibles to Genesis chapter 41, and we'll again begin with verse 1 through 8. And our first move is Pharaoh's dream. It says this in the Bible. It says, 2 full years later, Pharaoh dreamed that he was standing on the bank of the Nile River. In his dream, he saw 7 fat, healthy cows come up out of the river and begin grazing in the marsh grass. Then he saw 7 more cows come up behind them from the Nile. But these were scrawny and thin. These cows stood beside the fat cows on the riverbank. Then the scrawny, thin cows ate the 7 healthy fat cows. At that point in the dream, Pharaoh woke up. But he fell asleep again, and he had a second dream. This time, he saw 7 heads of grain, plump and beautiful, growing on a single stalk. Then 7 more heads of grain appeared, but they were shriveled and withered by the east wind. And these thin heads swallowed up the 7 plump, well-formed heads. And then Pharaoh woke up again and realized that it was a dream. See, in move number 1 where Pharaoh has a dream, you notice how God moves Pharaoh. He places 2 dreams in Pharaoh's time of why he's asleep. Now, also, too, if you know anything about Egyptian culture back there, they did not believe in the one true God. They had multiple gods. They were also considered, they were Gentiles, like many of us listening today. But yet Pharaoh, he shares his dreams with magicians and wise men. They don't have a clue of what he just said. So God closes in my thinking and what I read in between, because sometimes when you read the text, you got to read in between the lines to see exactly what is being said. As my dad says, listen to what's not being said so you can hear. And I think sometimes when we read the Bible, we got to do that, have that kind of frame of mind. Ask Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, help me to read in between the verses to experience exactly what is being said. They couldn't interpret the dream. And I tell you what, folks, sometimes dreams and visions are hard and they're difficult to understand, but God does something incredible in those times, because I find it interesting in verse 8, it says, the next morning Pharaoh was disturbed by the dream, so he called all his magicians and wise men of Egypt. When Pharaoh told them of his dreams, not one of them could tell him what they meant. And that's providential. God meant for that to happen. He meant though those other men could not see it, because he wanted to position Joseph. Joseph was being positioned, and Joseph did not even have a clue at this moment of what God was up to. And isn't that so true in what we live in today? We so much want to see a move of God. A move of God in our nation, a move in our God from our God politically, and a move from our God especially bringing on the revival, the great awakening. But seeing these moments of waiting, it seems difficult at times. It seems like, when's it ever going to happen? Especially when we live in a, what I would call a now culture, in which we want everything at a beckoning call. But see, folks, God doesn't work that way. He does not work in man's timing and man's dates. He works on His time, His providential clock. His providential timing is always perfect. And it's not that way in man's. But let's look at the second move. Move number two, the cupbearer remembers. And let's start with verse 9 and go through 13. And this is what it says in the Bible. Finally, the king's chief cupbearer spoke up. "Today I have been reminded of my failure," he told Pharaoh. "Some time ago, you were angry with the chief baker and me. You imprisoned us in the palace of the, and put us in the place of the captain guard. One night, the chief baker and I each had a dream, and each dream had its own meaning. There was a young Hebrew man with us in the prison who was a slave of the captain of the guard. We told him of our dreams, and he told us what each of our dreams meant, and everything happened just as he predicted. I was restored to my position as cupbearer, and the chief baker was executed and impaled on a pole." See, when we read this portion of the Bible, we see that the cupbearer comes to the point of remembering. He remembers how Joseph interpreted his dream. I believe, with not reading in the text in between the lines again, that God moves the cupbearer to remember Joseph, who was in prison. Now remember, Joseph actually asked the cupbearer, "Don't forget about me. Remember me. Remember what I have just done in the interpretation of the dream." But as we just read, the cupbearer forgets. 2 more years go by. Joseph now has been in prison for 12 years. 10 years before he interprets those two dreams, and then 2 more years after the interpretation. I don't know about you, but I'd be sitting there in prison thinking, everybody has forgotten about me. But Joseph held on. As we read between the lines, he has incredible faith. You see his character. You see his faith in God is absolutely bedrock stable. Nothing has changed in his life. He knows what God can do, and he believes in the dreams that God has placed in his life, so he holds fast. See, Joseph, as you read in this portion of the Bible, he's called out the young Hebrew man. I find that interesting of why the cupbearer calls him that. Because there's difference, because he's in the land of Egypt. He's in the land of Egyptians. But the cupbearer remembered, hey, there's this Hebrew man, this young man who can interpret, I believe, Pharaoh, your dream. So God brings back dreams, I believe, not only to the cupbearer, and we also see in Pharaoh, but I believe that God calls back dreams in our own life as well. I believe things that God is wanting to position us and do some incredible things in our lives. And sometimes we forget, and we need the Holy Spirit to come back and remind us of the dreams and the visions that God has placed in our lives as well. And I just encourage you today, I want you to pray into that a little bit about some of the things, the dreams and the visions that God has placed in your life. See, they're real. They're important. And God just doesn't put things in your life just as a matter of fact. He does it for a reason. But let's keep moving. Move number three, go for Joseph. Let's start with verse 14 and we'll go to 36 here and see what the Bible says. It says, "Pharaoh sent for Joseph at once, and he was quickly brought from prison. After he shaved and changed his clothes, he went in and stood before Pharaoh. Then Pharaoh said to Joseph, 'I had a dream last night, and no one here can tell me what it meant. But I have heard that when you hear about dreams, you can interpret them.'" I like the response of Joseph. He says this, "It's beyond my power to do this, but God can tell you what it means and set you to ease." So Pharaoh told Joseph of his dream. "In my dream," he he said, I was standing on the bank of the Nile, and I saw 7 fat, healthy cows come up from the river and begin grazing on the marsh grass. But then I saw 7 sick-looking cows, scrawny and thin, come up after them, and I've never seen such a sorry-looking animals in all of the land of Egypt. These thin, scrawny cows ate the 7 fat cows, but afterward you wouldn't have known it, for they were still as thin and scrawny as before. Then I woke up. In my dream also I saw 7 heads of grain, full and beautiful, growing on a single stalk, and then 7 more heads of grain appeared, but these were blighted, shriveled, and withered by the east wind, and the shriveled heads swallowed up the 7 healthy heads. And I told in the dream to the magicians, but no one could tell me what this meant. Joseph, he responds, both of Pharaoh's dream mean the same thing. God is telling Pharaoh in advance what he's about to do. The 7 healthy cows and the grains both represent 7 years of prosperity. The 7 thin, scrawny cows that came up later and the 7 thin heads of grain withered by the east wind represent 7 more years of famine. This will happen just as I described it, for God has revealed to Pharaoh in advance what he is about to do. The next 7 years will be a period of great prosperity throughout the land of Egypt. But afterwards, there will be 7 years of famine so great that all the prosperity will be forgotten in Egypt. Famine will destroy the land. The famine will be so severe that even the memory of the good years will be erased, all for having 2 similar dreams. It means that these events will be decreed by God and will soon make them happen. Therefore, Pharaoh should find an intelligent and wise man, put him in charge of the entire land of Egypt. Then Pharaoh should appoint supervisors over the land and let them collect 1/5 of all the crops during the 7 good years. Have them gather all the food produced in the good years and that they just ahead and bring it to Pharaoh and put it in the storehouses. Store it away, guard it so there will be food in the cities that will there will be enough to eat when the 7 years of famine come to the land of Egypt. Otherwise, the famine will destroy all of the land. Now, here's some interesting things here that we got to see this morning. Is Joseph has been brought up. So here's some interesting things. Joseph has given up his clothing. This is the third time. The first time when his brothers took away his coat of many colors. Remember that? He was stripped. Number 2, Potiphar's wife stripped him of his outer garment. Now, here's the third time they changed his clothing, took them away from him. See, the importance of this is realizing a way that there's a stripping away in order for God to advance us and to position us. Now, you might be thinking, how about how that works today? There has been, without a doubt, folks, a stripping away of what we've held, what we thought was important. But God has his way and brings us so our eyes are all on him. See, Joseph honors Pharaoh by listening to his dream, giving glory to God for the positioning him by giving him the answers to the dream. I love this because Joseph interprets the dreams, but before he does that, he makes sure that Pharaoh knows that only God can give Joseph the interpretations. And by doing so, he gives glory to God and he also honors Pharaoh. See, Joseph also gave Pharaoh a plan of action, which literally positions him, which we'll read next in point number 2, made a prince. But let's keep reading this morning. Our time is moving very quickly, so I want to make sure that we see this. It says that Joseph's suggestions were well received by Pharaoh and all his officials. So Pharaoh asked his officials, can we find anyone else like this man, so obviously filled with the Spirit of God? Then Pharaoh said to Joseph, since God has revealed the meaning of the dreams to you, clearly no one else is intelligent or as wise as you. You will be in charge of my court and all my people, and you will take orders from only you. Only I, sitting on my throne, will have rank higher than you. Pharaoh said to Joseph, I hereby put you in charge of the entire land of Egypt. And then Pharaoh removed his signet ring and put it on the hand and placed it on Joseph's finger. He dressed him in fine linen clothing, hung a gold chain around his neck, and then Joseph rides in the chariot reserved for his second in command wherever Joseph went. The command was shouted, kneel down. So Pharaoh put Joseph in charge of all of Egypt. And Pharaoh said to him, I am Pharaoh, but no one will lift a hand or foot in all the entire land of Egypt without your approval. Now find that interesting how God does some amazing things here. Not only that, it doesn't stop. See, Pharaoh also too gave Joseph a new Egyptian name. He calls him Zaphnath-Paniah. He also gave him a wife whose name was Asenath. She was the daughter of the Potipharah, the priest of On. So Joseph took charge of the entire land of Egypt. He was 30 years old when he began serving in the court of Pharaoh, the king of Egypt. And when Joseph left Pharaoh's presence, he inspected the entire land. And as we read in that, we see so many great things and exactly what happens. But here's one more interesting point. During this time, before the first famine of the 2 years was born to Joseph and his wife, the daughter of Potipharah, the priest of On, Joseph named his older son Manasseh, for he said, God has made me forget all my troubles and everyone in my father's family. And Joseph named his second son Ephraim, for he said, God has made me fruitful in the land of my grief. So the interesting thing that actually happens that we see in Joseph's life, he is made from prince. He's went from a prisoner to a prince. That God does some amazing things and positions him. He's second in command. And also, too, Pharaoh realizes that Joseph is filled with the Spirit of God. See, folks, God does some incredible things, even in the midst of the tough times in our lives. He brings us in places where he helps us to see in moments when our back is against the wall, God brings the kingdom of God to us and positions us and gives us hope. Let's pray this morning. Dear God, again, I want to thank you for this day. I want to thank you for the opportunity of the moments in which we can give you glory, honor, and praise. You are still the same God in the days of Joseph. The days when this young man was back against the wall and you brought the kingdom of God to him. Lord, we pray today, it seems as if our backs are against the wall. We see as sometimes we're literally scratching and reaching for hope. I pray, Holy Spirit, that you will help us today. I pray that those out there listening within my voice will hear hope this morning, that you are still the same God, that Yahweh still sits on the throne, that Jesus Christ sits at the right hand of the Father, and the Holy Spirit is with us and surrounds us and fills us and gives us hope. We thank you, Jesus, for who you are, for what you've done in our lives, and for the grace that we might be saved. If we call out your name, we thank you, Jesus. In your name I pray. Amen. Folks, it's been a great time. The kingdom of God will continue our series. Next week, we will look at another man of God whose back was against the wall. We will look at Moses and the Red Sea moment. I'm excited for what God has got for us. You don't want to miss next week. Drive safe today. Be careful. This is Mike Sarig, the voice of Vital Ministries.